Well, welcome back to Talking Golf with Anne Liguori. Glad you can join me where I will be every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 until September 2nd. And I hope you're having a great day so far. Happy Father's Day. Should be beautiful. The sun is out right now. A little cooler temperatures out here in the Hamptons than I heard John say in the city, obviously. It's supposed to get up to, 81 degrees at 2 p.m. That's great. It's about 69 right now. And, boy, you never know with the winds and the weather out here. It could be absolutely gorgeous in, say, the Village of West Hampton and pouring in the Village of Southampton and way windier in Bridgehampton than it is in Southampton. I mean, the weather patterns, because you have the Peconic Bay and the Atlantic Ocean and the Long Island Sound, we are surrounded, obviously, by water out here. And so it really does affect the weather patterns and the wind. And joining me now, who knows a lot about the weather patterns out here on the east end of Long Island, dear friend Dave Marr, who's a member here at Shinnecock and is working for Fox this weekend. Good morning, Dave. Thanks for being one of my first guests on Talking Golf with Anne Liguori.
Good morning, Anne. It's a privilege to be one of your first guests. And the only thing I really know for certain about weather on the east end of Long Island is it's always sunshine around Anne Liguori.
Well, thank you. I try to keep everybody smiling, that's for sure. Listen, Dave, you're a member here, and I would really love to hear your thoughts about the course yesterday and how the wind dried out several of the greens and the difficulty of the pin placements and, you know, the players complaining that the USGA just lost the golf course.
Well, not speaking for the club, just speaking for someone whose first U.S. Open was, 44 years ago at Wingfoot. I think Mike Davis got it 100% correct when he said that it was a tale of two golf courses, early and late. I'll take you back to Friday when we were sitting and doing our featured groups, work for Fox Sports. It was raining out on the golf course, very cold out there and raining pretty hard. And the weather report, AccuWeather, had it as 0% chance of rain. So basically, on Friday, they got fooled by the rain, and on Saturday, they got fooled by the wind. And that's what Mike Davis said. They set the golf course up as close to the edge as you possibly can to try and give a championship test to these great golfers. The scores in the morning indicated it. Some guys who were playing well shot good numbers. Some guys who couldn't control their golf ball didn't shoot good numbers. That's what a U.S. Open is supposed to do. But when you're on that tightrope, like Philippe Petit, if he's walking across a tightrope, if the winds, instead of being a docile 7 miles an hour to up to 12 miles an hour, go to anywhere between 20 and 30 miles an hour, now at that point, Petit's got a problem with a tightrope, USGA has a problem with Shinnecock Hills setup, and then those borderline hole locations become over the edge. And Mike Davis, again yesterday, admitted to it, that some of those locations they had were just too difficult for the winds that ended up picking up that no one could expect. No one had forecast. And if you take a look at the leaderboard right now, the top nine players include four U.S. Open winners and two other major champions. The only players in the top nine that are not major championship winners, that haven't shown that they know how to get it done on a venue and a setup like this, were players that went out early in the morning. Berger and Finau were the seventh group out yesterday. And Afi Bonrat, also early in his round yesterday. They got a chance to take care of the condition or to get their business done in the conditions that allowed them to score well because they matched with the forecast. The winds just got up, and you know out at Shinnecock, when that happens, it can very, very quickly dry out the golf course. And one that's on the edge, some of those hole locations can end up being unfair. And truly unfair just means that a good shot is not rewarded. It's penalized as a bad shot is as well. So look to the USGA. Last night they put more water on the golf course than they typically would have thought than you might see in a typical U.S. Open. And today you won't see hole locations that are as much of a test because they don't want it to get away from them. Shinnecock and the USGA, I'm sure, speaking more for the USGA because I've spoken with the USGA at length this whole week, they want the test. They don't care about what it is in relation to par. They want guys to go out there and get a fair test and have the best shots be rewarded and the best player to crown their champion.
Yeah, listen, everybody is trying to do the best job they can, right? And it's so hard to predict. But with all the instruments, with all the new technology that they were talking about having, and you know, even during my reports, Dave, in the morning, I was paying a lot of attention to the forecast, and there was, you know, it was pretty blatant that the forecast for the winds was 20 mile an hour gusts in the afternoon. It was pretty clear. But, you know, and do you put the pin placements on the edge like that when you know about the potential for these strong winds? That's the question. You had talked about Daniel Berger and Tony Finau playing in the morning. They shot 466s. They moved up 45 spots on the leaderboard to finish tied for one after 54 holes. I mean, unbelievable. When Berger finished his round yesterday at 2:19 in the afternoon, he was tied for 11th. When Finau finished his round at 2:58 in the afternoon, he was tied for 12th. And at the end of the day, you know, they find themselves tied for the lead at 4 under. That's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. It's something where, again, you're going to have a situation, regardless of the setup and how less, let's say, difficult the setup is, as they try and make it fair, Shinnecock is just simply going to dry out as the day goes on. So however moist and scoreable it is in the morning, the afternoon, when the best golfers in the world, these are the best golfers in the world, came together this week, these are the best of those who are playing as well as they can this week, when they hit the first tee, the course is just going to be more difficult than it was in the morning. That's just a fact of seaside courses, where they get dried out during the day. As the day progresses, those hole locations get more and more difficult. But the USGA is definitely going to make sure, I think, that those hole locations later on in the day are not going to be something that high winds will make unfair. Good shots are going to be rewarded. Bad shots are going to be penalized.
That's right. The first five groups' average score is 73.2. The last five groups, their score average 76.7. Unbelievable, right?
Yep, three-shot swing, and the first groups out were actually guys who were not playing as well this week. It's the last groups out. So you see the guys that are not playing as well this week scoring three shots better than the guys who are playing as well as anybody else in the world. It just shows you what happened on a course like that when the winds kick up and it comes up and really dries out the greens with hole locations that might not have been as well thought out on a few holes. And we're talking about three or four maybe that had people rolling their eyes and shots that are good not being rewarded better than shots that were bad.
Dave Moore, do you think what happened yesterday was close to what happened in 2004?
Not even close. And 2004, you saw wind gusts up to 20 mile an hour being forecast in the morning. I don't think they were forecast that early in the morning when they're cutting the hole location. And I think there was a hope that by the USGA that they had managed the golf course here much better than they had in 2004 with all of the technology that they have. I think they felt like those kinds of wind gusts could end up maybe impacting those hole locations. But what ended up happening was you had consistent breezes of high teens into the low 20s, and it just frankly dried out the course more quickly than the USGA anticipated and put them in that kind of position. In 2004, it was a completely different situation on the seventh hole. You knew you had wind coming out of the west. That blows down the hill at number seven. Not only is that going to dry out an exposed green, but it's also going to make any golf ball on that green indefensible. I mean, there's no way you can keep it on that green. People will put it into the front left bunkers to try and play up and out and not have a ball on the green. Then it was going to end up getting blown off the golf course, basically. So I think that was just really one green that was savage. There were a few others that got away from them, but that was one where the USGA had a better handle on what was going to be going on that day and just took it over the edge. This one, they tried to take it to the edge, and the edge moved on them, frankly.
That's right. Well said. Let's talk about Phil Mickelson, antics on 13, and his reaction to those antics. What are your thoughts about Phil?
I'm a big Phil Mickelson fan. He's done a whole lot for the game. It's difficult to criticize a guy who I've seen do so many good things for so many good people. But frankly, I think that was just a little bit of a temperamental snap. I know he doubled down and said it was a strategic move because he thought that the he knew he had the two-shot penalty, and he's going to fare better on his scorecard by taking the penalty and stopping the ball from going down. I don't buy it, to tell you the truth. But, you know, Phil has given a lot to the game, and when he's been runner-up six times, and all anyone asks you all week long is about your runner-up finishes, and you spend the day going around the golf course, hearing people shower you with their affection, singing happy birthday, knowing you're letting them down by not having a good shot at winning this championship, letting yourself down. I think he was very frustrated and very just out of his normal realm. I've never seen him be disrespectful. I don't think he thought he was being disrespectful, but it was being disrespectful.
All right, let's take some calls. 1-877-337-6666. Jim from Connecticut. Good morning. You're on the Fan. How
good morning,
are you, Jim?
Yeah. Good. Good, Ann. How are you?
Say hi to Dave Moore.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good.
Great. You know, I am so disgusted, not only with how Phil Mickelson handled himself yesterday, but the attitude of golfers today in general. It seems as if they're so spoiled week after week going out and dominating these golf courses, shooting 15 and 20 under, which they do because they're so good and their equipment is so good. When they're faced with a difficult course under difficult conditions, they want to cry and complain. And this is one reason why I can't watch the PGA Tour on a week-to-week basis. And I know this may sound unpatriotic, but today I'm going to be rooting for Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson because it seems as if the foreign golfers do the less whining and the less complaining of them all, because they're so used to playing under hellacious conditions in England and Scotland and Ireland.
Well, thanks for your call, Jim.
I
appreciate
it.
Yeah, I appreciate your call. You know, we all thought Rory would do well because he obviously grew up in Northern Ireland, Dave Moore. And, you know, Rory didn't make the cut, just struggling at these U.S. Opens. Let's talk about the field, obviously. What are your thoughts about I picked Justin Rose to win before this championship even started. And his up and down, his short game yesterday was just phenomenal. I mean, in just crazy intense conditions all week. He's consistent. He's mentally tough. I think Justin Rose came in more confident than anybody I saw. This caller thinks Justin Rose or Henrik Stenson, you know, are the guys that can handle these kinds of wins and these kinds of conditions better. And, you know, both of them have the temperaments to win, obviously, at majors, and they have. What are your thoughts?
Well, Justin Rose is a class act, just a gentleman from start to finish, has been to do this. A teenager, an amateur at the Open Championship. And Jim from Connecticut, all I can say about the whiners in the game, it's not limited to Americans. Have you ever met Ian Poulter? I'll leave it right there. So at the end of the day, yes, there's a little bit of pampering going on with PGA Tour players. But when I was a kid and my parents spanked me, boy, I pouted for a little while. That's all we got. It's the temperamental kids here pouting because they couldn't play the way they typically like to, but it's the U.S. Open, and they're being tested to their utmost degree. I would say that the difference in what the conditions that Europeans play under versus Americans has been overrated over the years, or has sort of diminished over the years. Frankly, the conditions on the European Tour are much, much better than it used to be. Many European Tour players, or European players, playing more on the PGA Tour, so they're as
That's
used
right.
to the conditions over here as American players. And just go ask Colin Montgomery, which I do every time it rains. I go up to Colin and I say, hey, this must be your kind of weather, Scottish. You love this. And he always looks at me and laughs. He says, give me 75 and sun. I'm a human being before I am a Scot. And he hates playing in that weather just as much as American players. So I'm not sure that it favors Justin. What favors Justin is his ball striking, his toughness, and his putting. And, boy, put those things together, and he may win another U.S. Open. And it would be a good thing if he does, because he's a great guy and will be a worthy champion on a Shinnecock Open.
Well, we're in for an incredible day. I mean, anybody can win, right? I mean, look at this leaderboard. I mean, Daniel Berger, Tony Finau, Brooks Koepka, the defending champion. He's been playing phenomenal, and this is after he had, you know, that wrist injury for so long. He's come back, and he's doing so well. Dustin Johnson just seems unflappable, just, you know, fairways and greens. I mean, yesterday, if that's his bad round yesterday, I mean, he could just be, again, superb today. Who are you picking, Dave Moore?
I'm with you, JR. Would love to see him
really?
End up winning. Brooks Koepka, yep. seeing Brooks become only the second player in 60 years, second player since Hogan, to successfully defend. Curtis Strange, the only guy to do that. That would be something else. It's just going to be fun to watch all day long.
And if Justin Rose wins, he will be the only Englishman to have won two U.S. Opens. Well, I really appreciate you coming on. And I hope to see you out here at Shinnecock playing when the conditions are less tough than these.
You play there more than I do, so you know better than anyone. See you soon, Ann. Thanks so much.
I really appreciate it.